never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Welcome to the 24th Skanon podcast.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
It's the three of us here as per usual. And we'll kick things off with some, what have we been watching lately? So, Jason, what have you been watching?
Oh, lots of things. Lots of things.
Such as?
Rewatches, South Park the Movie, which is amazing. Get Shorty, which I really love, but maybe not quite as highly as I did when I was a little younger. Maybe. It's not in the out of sight Jackie Brown adaptation level, but not far off.
Its satire is quite broad, yeah, but
it's
hilarious.
Surely it's enjoyable. Like, and it's a great cast.
Yeah. And when Travolta was still respectable.
He's so good.
He is.
Look at me. And it's the great Dennis Farina.
The late lamented Dennis Farina. And the late lamented James Gandolfini.
And Delroy Lindo.
I'm taking you out, Yahoo.
René Russo. Oh, such a great cast.
Gene
Hackman. Now retired Gene Hackman.
Oh.
Please don't die, Gene. We've had enough this year.
True.
Great fun. Endlessly quotable, really funny. But the new releases, the things, I saw two this week. That's three, actually, but I'll keep one for the top 10. God's Pocket.
Mm.
But again, the late lamented Philip Seymour Hoffman. God, it should have been more, shouldn't it?
It's okay.
It has everything. It has all the component parts.
Mm.
But it doesn't
really know
it anything.
It doesn't know how to put the comedy and the tragedy together.
Yeah, and it just becomes...
It's quite jarring at times.
Yeah, it's okay. Hoffman does Hoffman. It's as dependable as houses.
Yeah,
he's great.
For me, amongst I agree with you in terms of how it just... Tonally, it's an awkward mishmash at times. The cast, though, is a good one. Standouts being Christina Hendricks and Richard Jenkins.
Yeah.
They're great.
Just they're stock characters. And there's nothing new here. We've seen this in various guises over the years. So you want something new to be brought to it, I would think. And there really isn't. Okay, it's short enough runtime. You're not going to be bored. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just no more than
it
that.
It doesn't outstay its welcome, and that's it.
Yeah, their action was a little safe, I thought, by Slattery. That was the first time out, but...
Yeah, mind you, it's a good-looking film.
Oh, it is very pretty. Those lovely browns and yellows
and
all over.
Blues and...
Yeah,
I'd be keen to see what Slattery does
next.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
As a calling card, it's fine.
But no more than that.
No.
And the other one I saw was Obvious Child.
Oh.
I'll let you pronounce the director's name.
Gillian Robespierre.
That's the one. I couldn't think of it.
Debut director.
I really like this. I think the first 40 minutes of it's terrific. It's his best part of the film. It's rougher. It's more danger to it.
A lot more danger.
It rounds out the edges a little too much as it goes on. It gets into very kind of familiar narrative points.
Well, it kind of
does. Yeah, it does to make the point that's making.
Hmm.
But very enjoyable and very funny, and Jenny Slate is terrific.
It's a star-making performance.
Yes,
and
she's very good.
We have to give it kudos for actually taking on a topic that is quite thorny.
And I laughed. I laughed a lot.
Yeah, it is surprisingly funny.
It's guffaw territory on occasion.
Yeah. It's clearly a debut feature.
Yeah.
But does
it? I'm offered it. It's fine. I liked it a lot.
I think it's alright.
And I'd forgotten how much I loved this song, the Paul Simon song, and it's used brilliantly in it.
It's great.
Yeah,
love that song.
So do I. And yeah, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Mm, very good.
That's my week.
Very good. Well, let's see. I had a couple of rewatches as well. I had one new release, which we will talk about when we get to the top 10 as well.
Ooh.
don't get too excited. Let's see. What did I rewatch? First of all, I watched Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, yes.
Which is just such a delight. It's one of the few films I can think of where it really explores the kind of the dark side of the childhood mind, really.
There's plenty, because
yeah.
I mean, you tend to tune out.
You tend to tune out how
you remember all the kind of glowing endless summer days that probably never happened.
But this is, you know, most of it involving characters which are the products of this clearly quite sad little boy's head.
Troubled.
Very troubled.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about it that way, just makes it all the sweeter. It's
heartbreaking
at times.
I find it devastating. I think it's an absolute masterpiece of the film. And I know you probably don't rate it as highly as that.
Maybe not quite as high, but I still really, I love it.
I think it's astonishing. Astonishing film. And very, very moving.
Yeah. I mentioned it on Twitter when I rewatched it, and it got some very mixed feedback.
We know David Leary's...
We know it, well, when do we not know his stance?
No, that's true, but I did. On this particular one, he's very pretty clear.
Yes, indeed. But, no, I'm very much for Where the Wild Things
Good.
Are. But for me, a more contentious rewatch was Cosmopolis, David Cronenberg's film. I hear some winces here.
Niall nearly collapsed off the stool.
I don't like that film.
Well,
I don't like that
okay,
film.
Okay, let me start off by saying when I watched it first, I watched it in the cinema and I despised it. Now, rewatching it, I can't say I like it. But I get a bit more what it's trying to say. I appreciate its look a bit more. I appreciate what Cronenberg is trying to do. But it has problems that just couldn't have been overcome. The text, Dom DeLillo's novel, is the inspiration, and it's just, it's too wordy, it takes too long to say something very simple. In terms of economic satire, you could pick anything. Yeah. Even Wall Street is a satire of itself these days. I go with American Psycho myself, but that's beside the point. And also, Pattinson, he's terrible. I couldn't decide for a long time what I thought about him in this film. And every other character in this film, one or two exceptions aside, they are supposed to be quite emotionally distant and cold, and he's just bored and boring. I mean, he just goes kind of still and it's a very obvious choice. And all these other characters, which are played by Samantha Morton, Paul Giamatti, Juliette Binoche, they all invest something, whereas he's just sat there like a piece of clay doing nothing.
I feel a little sorry for him that film, and I remember watching it thinking it because he took a real leap from what he was doing to what... And though the guys you just described, the actors you just described,
are
seasoned performers and probably are well aware of what's needed for that kind of film.
Yeah.
I think he went into the deep end in a big way.
Probably,
I thought he was dreadful in as well. I think it's an awful film. But I take the point in regard to the performance. I think I somewhat like we were talking about his performance in The Rover.
Mm. Too obvious.
I think he's getting better, but I think those kind of performances where there's, like, The Rover for all his purposes for a lot of running time is a two-hander.
Yeah.
And Cosmopolis for a lot of running time is a one-hander. I mean, he's on his own a lot.
Yeah, it's just him and the people he's coming up
in
against.
In an ensemble, I think he'll grow a little bit more without being too noticeable. Mm. But I think in that kind of smaller, you'll get found out if the director isn't perfect. And
think you've hit the nail on the head there in terms of comparing them to seasoned performers. Him and Sarah Gavin, who plays his wife, they're the two kind of the relative newbies in the film.
Yeah.
And their performances are definitely the most, I won't say wooden, I'll say robotic.
Yeah.
They're just, you can see it going up against those more.
Yeah. And it's more glaring when you come across a Giamatti like...
Who compares to him? Nobody.
I'd like to see him doing a little more.
More like challenging
more
material.
More leading roles. I'd like to see him a little more at the forefront, but maybe we'll never see that.
And less Spider-Man.
And less Spider-Man, yeah.
I think we
can all agree on that one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's two cast members of Cosmopolis Spider-Man claimed. Gavin and Giamatti. Dear. That film is just...
Yeah, but it also claimed Giamatti and Thomas Hayden Church, so it has two people from Sideways.
It does indeed.
Well, different... Slightly
Watch
different,
out, Virginia.
Yes.
Virginia Madsen.
Nah, her career doesn't seem to have gone anywhere lately.
Also, you're
Virginia,
a woman.
I miss you. Come back.
Also, you're a woman. You won't be in a superhero movie. Anyway, let's move on to Niall's film.
Satire.
Nasty. So I was at the premiere, the Dublin premiere of Poison Pen, the new Irish film by the Film Base Masters... students. So there was two films made, and this is one, Poison Pens, and they crowdfunded it. So it was made on quite a small budget, set in London, filmed in both London and Dublin, and it's a very interesting film. It's a romantic comedy, and it's got all the trappings of a romantic comedy. It plays very much like a Richard Curtis film, but of the non-directed by Richard Curtis vein. So you're talking about Four Weddings and Notting Hill, the older ones, the better ones, the ones that are half decent.
The
older, funnier
the dreadful ones.
Yeah, exactly. And this has a lot of humour in it. So the lead is played by Lachlan O'Murren, and he's he's a writer. He wrote a book, won the Booker Prize, and now he can't write the second one. Fifteen years later, he still can't write the second one.
We've all been there.
And so his publishing house is bought by a media conglomerate, and the media conglomerate also owns this magazine.
I have been there.
The Gossip magazine. poison pen, and he's forced to write for it or pay up the advance that he was given to write the second
book. Not a bad hook as it goes.
Yes, it was the script is by Owen Colfer, the Irish author of Artemis Fowl and The Last Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy book, The Seven of Doubt. So it's got Aveen McGinty from Love Hate. She's in the female lead, and so she's playing a sort of Ariana Huffington type role.
Ariana Huffington. Yeah, I always prefer you said love interest.
No,
or her.
Yeah, but and love interest.
Ah.
So yes,
he did say romantic comedy.
It's a romantic comedy. So
I know.
So the film is about the softening of her character and the warming of his character because he's very pessimistic towards this whole role of writing for a gossip magazine. And so
I can pretty much guess where this girl is going to go, I presume.
Yeah, yes, but that's just because you know
it's a journey.
Exactly. Again, characters are well realized and they have a very good chemistry.
Okay.
And then in the supporting cast, they have the likes of Lauren Canney and Gemma Lynn Devereaux, and so Mary Murray, who's very, very funny in it as well. She's also in Love Hate. And it's just, for a film that was made on such a small budget, it's actually really good. And it's a really good rom com as well, which is.
They are rare.
Does it have a legs in terms of
I think it could do well. I think it really could do well if it's released
marketed properly.
Yeah, exactly. You can tell there's bits of it that need to be tweaked and there's a bit at the start that doesn't quite work, but most of it is very good. It's very well shot. And there's some scenes where they superimpose images from the magazine onto like the London buses or onto the Trafalgar or Oxford Circus, and they're showing like billboards and stuff with the magazine, and you couldn't tell that they weren't actually there.
The digital effects
are very, very good. And
there's ambition there,
but the lead two are the main reason that you'd watch that. So it's the like starring roles, leading roles for the pair of them, and I think. You know, if they're given more chances, they could do very, very well.
We said it before, and we'll say it again. Chemistry counts for a lot.
It really does.
No, it's everything. It can carry mediocre films, never mind good ones.
And I also watched then a film from last year, South by Southwest. It's called Cold Water. It's about kids who are sent off to a reform camp in the woods, juvenile detention center type place, and they're. Well, they're physically and mentally abused there, and it's a tough watch, but it's
so far so sleepers.
Yeah, it got great reviews at South by Southwest, and so I wanted to check it out, but I wasn't overly sold on it.
Admittedly, I've never been
to the camp or
no to South by Southwest.
Sorry,
thank God for one of those things, but. Everything seems to get great reviews out of South by Southwest, and then suddenly, as soon as it gets out, wait a minute.
There's a thing of Sundance as well, a little bit about
true,
that as well,
true.
I think, to some degree.
It's worth checking out, but it just didn't play right for me. The end of it is it goes a bit too violent, and it's just, yeah.
See, when it does something like that, it's trying to cover some other flaw up.
But the performances are good, and it is worth checking out. So if you can, it's called Cold Water, and it's probably on VOD now, so. So anyway, we'll move on to news of another festival. We'll move on to news of Venice.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's happening at the moment, and there's a number of films premiering there, so including Birdman, which
between this and a pigeon sat on a bird reflecting sat on a branch. I beg your pardon. A pigeon sat on a branch reflecting on existence. Venice has gone to the birds.
Yes.
Thank you.
That took you way too long to
get
to that.
It did. It really did.
Yeah.
15
minutes later.
I can't help it if the title's that long. Damn you, Roy Anderson.
Right, okay, I have a question. I've never seen a Roy Anderson film. Why haven't I?
I don't know.
Yeah, you should.
How have I not? I should. I'll get on that.
Yeah.
This sounds bonkers.
I must rewatch You the Living. It's great. It's hilarious.
Watch the other two, anyway.
There's too many people that know a lot of good movies that keep saying he's good, so it's enough of a reason.
I can't wait, not least because on one notable critic's list, this has already displaced Boyhood as best film of the year, so I'm in love with this thing already.
More of that, please.
it looks great. Something that seems relatively simple and focused on the comedy of things. I'm all for that.
We also have had the second documentary version of Joshua Oppenheimer. So the follow-up to The Act of Killing called The Look of Silence, which tells the story from the other side. So.
It sounds extraordinary. This, I read a little bit about it, and the reviews, again, you're always a little wary of... when you follow up something like The Act of Killing... There may be a thing where people...
It gets an extra star because of what the last one was.
And that's fine. But I think how he did that film and what he did with it and his kind of his commitment to the area and its politics and its the issues that are there, I think he's a very... He clearly has a very good eye. He's very aware of what he's doing and he spent a long time in this place. So I'm very keen to see it. I really want to see it. I expect it to be very, very good. To the ecstatic reviews coming out at home, though, I'd be a little cautious, but we'll see. I mean, we'll definitely see. I'll definitely be there.
If it's near as good as Act of Killing,
she's anywhere near as good, and I'll be happy. Or miserable, really. probably.
It's got good reviews, but definitely so far, the films that seem to be the ones to beat are A Pigeon Sat on a Branch, blah, 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 and Birdman.
My
two most anticipated films of the year. I can't freaking wait.
But there's also Manglehorn there as well.
Getting iffy reviews. This is David Gordon Green's follow-up to Joe and Prince Avalanche with Al Pacino.
Yeah. So
the generous reviews seem to be Pacino is good. The film less so.
I'm not that gone on David Gordon Green, let's see.
Well,
his earlier stuff again is generally the better stuff. I
wasn't big on Prince Avalanche. I liked Joe without thinking it did anything crazily different. It was fine, the performance was great.
But it's great in spite of that.
I think it's good. I think it's decent. I think it's very decent. I wouldn't say great. I think it's solid stuff with great performances. But yeah, I mean, I'm not a massive Pacino fan either anymore, so good God, maybe I'll avoid this one.
Oh, well.
We also have... We also have Ramin Barini's 99 Homes. That's got Andrew Garfield and Michael Shannon, so that's done decent.
Yeah.
That's decently reviewed as well.
Well, basically the two leads, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah, some of the films haven't gone down great, but by and large, it's got a good... it's Venice. It tends to get a good caliber of film.
It does. I think it could almost overtake Cannes at this stage in terms of its prestige. I would put more faith in a Golden Lion win than a Palme d'Or these days.
Well, but Cannes is a different type of festival than Venice. Venice happens in the sort of
awards.
Cannes is
more about the market.
Really. Yeah, exactly, about the marché.
Venice almost kicks it off, doesn't it?
It does.
Venice and Telluride in the US. Yeah. Telluride is the sort of invite-only type festival, and it's...
Whereas Toronto is the flip side. It's for everybody.
Yeah, well, Toronto, they have general admission, so it's like the Dublin Film Festival or the London Film Festival. The press screenings are separate to the public screenings, but the press can go to the public as well. So usually lines are around the block.
Yes.
It is. Toronto is an experience, though. It's the way to go. But some of them are... I'm looking forward to some of these films because I'm hearing about them coming out, like Shinji Tsukamoto's Fires on the Plane. So
that's got great reviews today.
Yeah, it's about Japanese soldiers in World War II in the Philippines. And so you never hear about these type of things otherwise, you know. So except for these festivals shining a light on them. We move on from Venice to... I don't know quite how to... Cashin.
Fucking idiotic. It's the phrase I'd use. Cashin is...
It's pointless. Absolutely pointless.
We haven't even mentioned what it is yet.
No, but...
celebrate the 75th anniversary...
The
Wizard of Oz is being released in IMAX 3D.
Now, the film was not made for 3D. IMAX did not exist when it came out. Why, Delilah, for God's sake?
Just release it.
A
standard release. I mean, and let people... Because I read a kind of blurb today about it, and they said basically, this will give us a closer kind of imagining to what people saw in the cinema back in the day. It's like, no, it bloody won't, because there was no 3D, there was no IMAX. If you release it to a standard cinema screen, it'll give a closer thing of what... It'd be actually what people saw.
No, you want to give a closer closer imagining of what it was like, put it in a smaller theatre than we have these days and fill it full of smokers. Then you'll have somewhere,
That's exactly it. This is a stupid idea.
One of the problems of this is that the technology that was used to make the film, and it is an incredible film, it's an incredible looking film, and it was one, the first one to really utilise Technicolor, but the technology is so dated. It looks like painted sets. There's no way around that.
That's fine.
Well, yeah, except things like 3D and IMAX
will show that up. Yeah. So that's one of the things. But it is, it's an incredible movie, and if... It's a chance for a new generation to see it.
I like it, but I've never loved it. I did enjoy it as a kid, but it—I mean, it was second to never in the story for me. that's just me. I like it well enough. But
I love it. I mean, it's fine. It is a part of it.
It's a beautiful film.
It is.
I'm not arguing that.
But the fact that it's going to get this kind of tacky, gimmicky release is a great disappointment.
Now they have gone back, and they have gone back to the originals and digitally. Enhanced, like an original print of it. So they have. They think there has been painstaking work put in to this.
But again, it's all
so what if they're going to do it? Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter. And to be honest, I haven't seen it in a long time. Had it been released in its kind of a kind of standard release,
I'd
hang on a second. I've never seen it in the cinema because I certainly won't be sitting there going, "Do you know what I'd like to see in IMAX 3D this weekend? How about The Wizard of Oz? Let's go and see that." And really ruin an experience.
I'm waiting for Red and Scarlet in 3D.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
this is crap. Is what it is, to be honest.
This must be how Orson Welles felt when Ted Turner wanted to colorize Citizen Kane. Keep Ted Turner and his goddamn Crayolas away from my movie.
Yeah.
And keep IMAX and 3D away from The Wizard of Oz. Follow the yellow brick road. Not this time.
Right. Okay. So we're going to move on to news. Better news. So,
Yay!
Dracula Untold is going to be shown in Dublin. There's a special screening of Dracula Untold at the end of the month. But it's in aid of
just for charity.
Yeah, it's in aid of charity. So you know,
this is First St. Francis Hospital.
You can't put Rage of Bull on for charity, no.
Dracula Untold is a brand new film by an Irish director. Filmed in Ireland. So let's.
Jay, since when do you joke?
Whereas Raging Bull is an American film starring Americans made by Americans. So,
doesn't mean it wouldn't make any more. I'd be there.
That's because it's your favorite film ever.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is the Luke Evans starring film. It's the origin story of Dracula. It's directed by Gary Shore and predominantly filmed in Belfast. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. This is the preview screen, so obviously none of us have seen it yet.
No.
But the director's going to be there, and all the stars are going to be there, and it's for charity, so it's worth checking out.
Yes, indeed.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Jay, you are...
Sorry.
Mind you, if they had screened The Wizard of Oz IMAX 3D for charity, I'd probably...
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that'd be different, wouldn't it? So... If it's for charity, then you can't.
Just because it's charity doesn't mean you can treat us like saps, not.
Good grief. Have you done your ice bucket challenge yet, Jay? Or
no, I have not. I don't do ice bucket challenges.
Neither do I.
Because I'm not 5. Anyway, let's move on to the next bit of news.
quickly.
By the time we're talking on that nervously right now.
Oh, quick. He won't stop digging. Someone take away his shovel.
You got stupid.
So Culture Night is happening on September 19th. And that's always great because it's...
I'd like to be a culture.
Yes.
Everything's free.
Everything is free. That's the most important thing.
So come on, you plebs. Come get some culture in. Yeah.
So theatres around the country, different cinemas around the country, all sorts of things, art galleries, museums, they're all involved in Culture Night. And every one of them is free so you can go and see them. So,
but Niall, what a film.
Yes, that's the things that we care about more. So there's a... The Pavilion teaser is going to have two programs of short films for children. So come on.
Jay was never a child. He came out born with a beard.
This is true, actually.
Poor Mrs. Coyle.
So they're going to be showing a bunch of shorts. So they're all quite, five to 6 minutes long.
Okay.
And in two programs, so 45 minutes long, 50 minutes long. So then that's... But they're going to be from Switzerland and Spain and Russia and Netherlands and, you know, so there's going to be
a bit of variety in these.
So that's
good. It is culture night, after all.
Exactly. Film Base is going to have a load of shorts as well. So they're starting like from 7 o'clock in the evening. They're going to be showing various different Irish and international shorts in the basement in Film Base.
Excellent.
Then there's going to be two films at the UCD, at the Student Centre Cinema. So Next Goal Wins, the Mike Brett film, and Chinese Puzzle, which was only recently out. That's both the two of them we're going to show in UCD.
Very good.
Then we're going to have, in the IFI, we're going to be showing a load of short Irish films.
And remember, folks, all free.
All free. And also in outside of Dublin.
There's no outside of Dublin.
The Euston School of Film will be also showing short Irish films as well. So, but nationwide, theatres and museums and all art galleries, everything will be doing stuff. So it's worth checking out to going to culturenight.ie and checking out what's on there. That's September 19th.
As they used to say in the radio ads, check local press for details.
Exactly.
And all good record stores.
Or just check the Culture Night website.
Or do that.
Yeah. So, news closer to home again. And Jamie Dornan of The Fall of Fame. The man's a very good-looking man, in fairness. He's next going to be seen in 50 Shades of Grey, but he's already lined up the one for after that. So he's going to star in Alexandra Aja's next film. That's the director of Horns. The film's...
Alexandra Aja!
Oh, Lord. Yeah. The film's called The Ninth Life of Louis Drax. And what's interesting about this is that it's been written by Max Minghella.
Previously worked on by Anthony Minghella, I believe.
A labour of love.
Yeah.
He was
making me melancholy. I miss Anthony Minghella.
Good filmmaker.
Yes, indeed. Sorry, off the point here. Jamie Dornan.
Yeah, so Jamie Dornan, he's going to play the a doctor who's looking after the young boy, the Lewis Drax of the title, and so that there's no announcement on who's going to play the kid yet. But,
The Ninth Life of Louis Drax. Yeah. Is he a cat?
It's a guy with he suffers a near fatal fall on his ninth birthday, and the doctor man is looking after him. So yeah.
See, this is why people don't like me going to cinema. I have to analyze these things to death.
They consider it Woody Allen.
News.
Jeez.
Oh God. News for Jason.
Yay! After 24 podcasts, finally.
Scorsese!
Yay!
He's making a Ramones movie.
Yay!
The only thing I say about this is
Marty is a punk!
It's not there's actually nothing known. It's like, they just announced that Scorsese will be making a Ramones movie. It's like, okay, that's it. Then the whole article is nothing. Because you don't know anything about it.
Is it a documentary?
No, apparently it's a feature, but nobody knows.
Really?
Nobody knows anything.
It's a pity, because...
Yeah, probably there'll be that picture. Because he's done the Dylan and he did the...
And he did the George Harrison. The George Harrison one was extraordinary.
Yeah. You don't know.
It's Scorsese.
He's attached to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but he makes very good film music.
Music.
It's one of his passions, so...
I'll be there.
Yeah, exactly.
For the Scorsese movie, and
the Ramones.
The only problem is, every new project that's announced with Scorsese chat, I just feel like it's eating up more time that could be devoted to The Irishman.
Yes.
His film with Pacino, De Niro, and Pesci.
Yeah, get on that, Marty.
Yeah, please.
De Niro needs it desperately.
And, definitely.
He really needs it.
Definitely. Pacino, he'll do his own thing.
He's done Manglehorn, so, you know.
He's also the Humbling. And ended up Roth debacle for the film.
Salome is on its way, too.
Finally, Salome is on its way.
I've seen Wild Salome, though.
Yeah, that's Jessica Chastain.
That's like Wild Salmon and Salmon, isn't it?
It's catnip to me. That's all you know.
Well, she's got that, the him, her, and them.
Rigby thing, is it?
Yeah, the disappearance of Eleanor Rigby. So you get three films worth of Jessica Chastain. Well, less so in the him version. But
shut up and take my money.
We're going to move on to the top 10.
Okay.
At 10, in its first week,
Oh, that's
the Giddy Heights of number 10.
Heights of the Giddy Heights number 10 with a screen average of €710 per location, which is very bad for a first week film. As above, so below, the found footage horror.
As below, so below. As a,
yes, the reviews haven't been great, but considering how heavily this has been advertised, I'm quite surprised to see that result.
That's poor. It made €28,381 for the weekend.
I made
good Lord, goodbye.
It made less than like 900 films, and the ninth film being Planes 2, oh, Fire and Rescue.
Planes 2.
Oh dear. Turkey. Do you want to take a bet on how many animations we have this week? Not as many as usual, I don't think.
Yeah, give it a week.
Well, no, the thing is, the kids are going back to school now. So.
Oh, thank heaven for
thankfully,
that.
Thankfully.
So there'll be less.
I love kids, mate.
The time for dramas, miserable cold winter dramas. That's my own Jay show.
Oh, roll on Oscar season, yes. AJ.
3-hour Norwegian dramas about suicide. That's my bit. Anyway, sorry. Let's back to it.
Right, at 8, also in animated film, The Nut Job. Also about 5 weeks, and right. It has passed 500,000.
This is done all right. This is hung on in there fairly handily. Like,
surprise.
£500,000.
I'm not. Animation.
Well, I know, but I'm just,
it's... Yeah, but...
Oh. But the quality is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, less than good.
It doesn't matter. It seems not to matter.
It's got Will Arnett. We like Will Arnett.
Yeah, we do like Will Arnett.
Yeah, but especially when he's Batman or Job. Not as a squirrel.
Come on.
Ash 7.
I've made a huge
mistake. Or else when he's a nice skater. He's also quite funny.
That's true. Let's go recent bet.
At 7. Yes. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. So... Philip went to go see this.
Yes, thankfully, Philip, you took over the team.
I did, well, not just for the team. My friends wanted to see it, and I got roped in. And
tell us all.
Okay, now I don't know how you guys necessarily feel about the first Sin City.
I
enjoyed it. It's okay, style of substance, but it does have just enough dramatic heft and good performances to ensure that it sticks in the memory.
Yeah.
Plus those visuals. I mean, they just...
They're eye-popping. I mean, they're
very much so.
No argument.
The problem is, SimCity A Dame... I'm sorry, I can't say A Dame to Kill For. A Dame for Whom to Kill. Come on, people. Grammar.
And also, then, if you're going to go that way, A Dame for Whom to Commit Murder.
There you go. Well, if you want to be... That's the time talking.
Please. Jesus, just get on with it.
Okay, the point is, not good. Why? Because... When they made the original Sin City, they picked the most cinematic, the most interesting stories. This is like the offcut. This is what's left over. And a lot of these stories don't go anywhere. There's a whole plot line involving Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character who goes up against Powers Booth's character in a couple of games of poker, and so on. That is pretty much my summation of the whole thing. So what? People die, limbs get mauled, and I still don't care.
You're a big fan of Eva Green.
We all are. Fantastic. And you know what? Even if I wasn't, she is still by far the best thing in this film. She plays femme fatale Ava Lord. Her plotline with Josh Brolin is kind of the central nub of this thing.
She is the titular dame for whom to commit murder.
Emphasis on titular. She has. She gets naked frequently, and it's just. Yeah, the stories go by, and the cast give. They do their best. As I say, Grain is the best thing about the film. I give kudos to Josh Brolin and also to Mickey Rourke returning in the role of Marv. But a lot of these stories, they're not as interesting as the stories in the first film. And the visuals, they're, well...
Second time round as well. Like, so you know what they expect.
Not only second time round, but second time round after 9 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
9 years in which we've seen Batman rejuvenated. We've had things like Watchmen. The comic book movie has already gone gritty, so this is old hat. Really. It only entertains in fits and bursts. It's surprisingly dull.
In the 9 years since the first one came out, all of the Marvel films come out.
Mm.
Yeah. So again, Marvel studio films. And so Iron Man on.
Think of it, was Sin City even a massive success even at the time when it came out?
It did well, but not
enough to warrant a straightaway sequel.
No.
Which you wonder when you release it 9 years later, who the market is.
Well, thing is that every year when Frank Miller went to Comic-Con, he was asked...
When Sin City 2.
Yeah, but Comic-Con...
Yeah, so you're very much playing to the crowd there. You know,
you're not necessarily, like, I mean... you're not transcending beyond a group, small group of people only see it, whereas a lot of the superhero movies are.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not done remarkably well at the box office.
No, but it actually held.
It held?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I suppose, but it's... They waited too long. Short and simple. Sorry, Rodriguez, but next, and whatever your next one is, it better not be another bloody Spike Kids movie.
Can we make a point that Rodriguez actually made a great film?
El Mariachi.
That's his best film, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's his first film, and his best film.
Yeah, the only film I could...
Trilogy is not bad.
The trilogy is not bad. Johnny Depp walking around in a CIA t-shirt in the third one.
Are you a Mexican?
Or a Mexican.
Or a Mexican. Yeah. Just for that line alone, I don't think it
was. The trilogy I'll give him a pass for. The Spy Kids ones I will not.
Faculty's fun.
From Dusk Till Dawn?
Fun, but not much more than that.
No.
Style over substance.
Yeah. Very much so.
But he's a tremendously... He has a place in cinematic conversations that he scarcely deserves, really.
Cosby's association with QT.
I would have thought so.
He is by far the lesser partner in that.
Definitely. Yeah.
Sorry,
I'd like to see him try something just not exploitative. A bit more substance. I could see him going for a drama, giving it a little stylish oomph, and it could really be something.
Well, see... To see the difference between, I think, in a nutshell, when you're talking about Rodriguez and talking about Tarantino, Tarantino went off to do Jackie Brown, the show he could, and then went back to do whatever the hell he wanted.
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez has never stepped out of that comfort zone.
Well, Tarantino himself said when he made Jackie Brown that he made the film that his career projected him to make in his 60s.
So he got that out of the way, and then went back to doing whatever the hell he wanted.
Plus, and you know, he hasn't matched it since.
And he could do it again if he wants.
Has there ever been a better sort of match of author and director Dan Leonard?
QT and Leonard.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a wonderful film. It's an absolute wonderful film.
Yeah. I'd say if anybody wants to adapt a lesser James Ellroy novel, give the script to Rodriguez, see what he can do.
Yeah, no argument with that. At least the substance there on the page, see what he can do with it.
There you
go. No, agreed. Yeah, absolutely agreed. Keep writing the Palma. Sorry.
Okay. At six, The Grand Seduction.
Hang on a minute. This is the first week of release, and it's done just over £1,000 screen average.
Yeah, and what's the total? 41,000.
It's not bad. Is that what we're expecting? I wouldn't imagine they're expecting much.
A good bit of advertising for this.
Yeah.
I think a certain Mr. Gleeson has had a lot of clout behind this.
Yeah, Brendan Gleeson in the lead role should get you that comfortably.
Yeah, but it hasn't done anything more than that, and it doesn't deserve to, because it's awful! Can I stress that enough?
You can.
Okay.
Right. It's a bad year for the whole Canadian remake thing, though, because you also had that one with Vince Vaughn.
Deliveryman,
yeah, which was ice on
a remake of Starbuck.
God, it was awful.
But then again, I don't think either the original of Deliveryman, Starbuck, or La Grande Seduction were particularly good to start. So,
But it does give you a jumping off point that to make something better, maybe. Clearly,
but
not here.
But they haven't.
Yeah, but they haven't, exactly.
Taylor Kitsch, God love you.
Yeah, he'll get a break one day. He'll get a break. He's good, though. He's good.
He'll get a break. Yeah, somebody released a deluxe DVD edition of Friday Night Lights, the entire box.
And then the world will know.
Anywho, at five, If I Stay.
If I Go?
Yeah.
Because I'm not staying for this.
Chloe Grace Moretz, star.
Christ, she's like Sand of the Beach. She gets everywhere, that girl.
That's quite a lovely analogy.
That's gone on the poster, I think.
I can't. As soon as I see her on the poster, I think, oh no.
It's based on a young adult novel.
Oh no!
That's my favourite things grouping together. I knew to get the price to pay for the Scorsese news.
Well, it made slightly more than The Grand Seduction, 44,000 this first week, but less screen average, less than €1,000, it won't last long.
It's no fault in our stars, is it?
No, it's not.
Pity, because it clearly wanted to be.
Anyway, at four, and a film with real staying power, Inbetweeners 2. So,
I have seen this. And I liked it.
Yes.
Welcome
to my camp. I liked it too.
You like it if you know you're
the
going
blueprint
for it.
Is the blueprint. They do the thing, they stick to it. I didn't like the previous one. You can have the whole going away and doing the thing, but it wasn't funny. They forgot the jokes. This one, they remember the jokes.
Just enough of them.
There's enough of them to get you by comfortably, I think.
There's a couple of great moments. Yeah.
The slide is a masterpiece of and it, like, and forget the bit after where you're in the pool, like, that's standard stuff. The slide is just fantastic. I was in tears for the whole slide ride out the bottom. That was very funny.
Admonishment of
the middle class hippies was hysterical and really overdue. and Will can deliver that.
The cringe inducing song.
Yes, which is very good as well. I guess.
God.
I like that.
And then looking for water in the desert.
Yeah, yeah. And the final denouement of the long distance relationship as well.
Yeah.
Mm. There are some.
It's decent. Like it and it has quite a few laughs. I laughed fairly steadily the way through it.
Yeah. But listen,
it's not brilliant, and it's not even a very good movie.
And you came to it as a fan of the show, right?
I'm a fan of the show, but yeah. I hated the last film.
I still haven't seen it, but I have been warned off.
It's not very good.
And the ending is rushed. That's the biggest problem with the end of Fingers 2. It just goes, vroom, and you're like,
oh. Yeah, it's like suddenly, oh, what are you doing here? This could be vaguely interesting. Oh, no, tie it all together. Boom.
Yeah,
so it's fine. I enjoyed it. Nothing more than that, nothing less.
Yeah, but Irish audiences seem to be enjoying it. It'll probably make 2 million before it ends its...
I'll say it before and I'll say it again. They'll shave and they'll make another because their money is there.
I'm sad to say, but I think you might be right.
I think so.
At 3, a film that just passed 2 million itself, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, well, firmly in the Philip camp in this one, no.
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 Not
highest grossing film of the year in the US.
Oh.
Well, that shows you everything that about the US market, really. It's not very good.
Well, it grossed more than Transformers, so that's good to see.
Well, that is something.
Even though Transformers gross more worldwide. But
that's who do you prefer, Jeffrey Dahmer or John Wayne Gacy? You know what I mean?
Seriously comparing Guardians of the Galaxy to Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yes, I am.
If anything, you should probably compare it to Avengers Jeffrey Dahmer, because at least it does have Jeremy Renner.
That's true. Also, I do like the Avengers.
Me too. I suppose
the Avengers still by far the best Marvel films.
Yeah,
the Avengers had by far the best director.
Yes, that's a lesson, isn't it? Surely that's the lesson.
Give Joss Whedon everything.
No, it just gets better filmmakers. I mean, this could have been good, and I suspect the sequel will be. I presume James Gunn's going to be still there.
It does look like it. But I mean, there was an awful lot of setup in this, whereas the Avengers benefited from having.
Hang on, right? There's often fine, but. Then people stop reviewing it as if it's brilliant then, because when it's so much set up, then people have to be called out on that.
Mm.
That's my only issue with it in that sense. And I think the second film will be better because it can get rid of all that. It can propel forward into its thing. The cast are fine, the characters are okay, some of them could be really good.
As soon as you ditch all the expository baggage.
But it's not only exposition that's the problem, it's the Marvel adherence to structure that is a problem.
Yeah. Wisecrack here, a wisecrack there, here a wisecrack, there a wisecrack. Oh, it's time for CGI blowout!
That's it. I didn't enjoy it, and I'll say
you
that.
You didn't enjoy it? Cardinal sin!
It was not, quote-unquote, fun.
No, it wasn't. Sorry. There's a film that's much more fun in a couple of spaces up, but we'll come back to that.
I'm one back.
His first week straight in at number 2, and doing quite well. Considering the fact that it was advertised somewhat, but not to the extent some other films were. Let's Be Cops.
Let's not.
It hasn't been a lot of advertising, actually. How well has it done?
It made 140,000.
Crikey.
2.2 per grand per location.
Very decent.
So it's already at over 200 grand.
Just below it, yeah. But it would have passed it today.
That's impressive. Considering it looks absolutely dreadful.
You saw the trailer?
Yeah.
Right? Not one laugh.
Not one laugh.
No.
No.
No. And I laughed when
it was over. Does that count?
Well, maybe.
I saw the trailer for it before the film that's at number 1, and then I watched the film I was at number 1, which is obviously the better... Luc Besson's Lucy.
I got my 3 words in. Remember Eyes Wide Shut? It was like Cruise, Kidman, Kubrick. Remember the advertising thing?
Mm.
Brilliant, bonkers, Besson. That's where I'm going with.
Yeah,
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I'm a big fan of it too. I thought it was absolutely mental.
It's daft, but it is enjoyable.
I haven't seen Edge of Tomorrow yet, but this is by far my favorite blockbuster of the year so far.
Ooh.
That's the only one I imagine would give a competition. I'd say Dawn of the Planet actually, but relatively soon.
And now there's an interesting question. Favorite blockbuster of the year? I would go into tomorrow.
Okay.
But I cannot deny I had fun with Lucy. Would I say I love Lucy? Well, Mr. Mooney. But
it's a toss-up between those two.
Because Edge of Tomorrow, surprisingly good.
I will see it. I missed it, unfortunately. Yeah. I haven't made the first scene.
Well, remember, you can buy us on DVD as Live, Die, Repeat. What on earth are they doing with that DVD release?
That's the second time they've changed the title on this as well.
Yeah, because it was All You Need Is Kill.
Which is the name of the graphic novel.
God, they're idiots. Anyway, Lucy, go see it. It's fantastic. Scarlett Johansson is fantastic. It has the most outrageously, absurdly ambitious third act. It's great. Ignore Philip.
I still like it. What do you want from me?
It's odd.
It is particularly odd.
It is very odd.
But
it is very enjoyable, but it's very odd.
It's odd, but quite crucially, it doesn't care. It just
doesn't care.
Also,
it cuts to scenes of, like, feckin' Neanderthal men.
I know.
It has its Tree of Life moment. It has its...
The Matrix moment.
But it's Besson's best film.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'm saying it now.
Oh, no.
It's Besson's best film.
Oh, now, come on.
It's his best film. It's his best film.
No, you need to rewatch Leon.
You
do. Yeah, you do.
Or Nikita.
Or maybe even The Big Blue.
It's better than Leon.
It's not better than Leon.
No.
Leon's overrated.
No,
it's not.
Still,
it is.
It's fine, but it's not great.
Jay, you're giving me heartburn here.
They make a lovely pairing, though, Leon and Lucy.
They would.
Yeah.
They That's a double bill.
Jean Reno
and
Scarlett Johansson.
Do you know what? I'd say that just to give Jean Reno the career comeback he's
so needs. That'd be a fine double bill in the cinema.
That would. I'd watch that.
I'd be there.
I might have to try in The Fifth Element as well, just to...
No.
Not so much.
Anyway, sorry. I really like Lucy, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Multipass.
We're going to move on to what's up this week.
Yay.
Woo! Yay!
I have to be honest, I'm not altogether inspired by this week's lineup.
Yeah.
First and foremost, what's out tomorrow as we record, so on Wednesday, is the Jason Segel...
Topical.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. The Jason Segel, Cameron Diaz starring sex tape.
I feel like I've seen this already.
Yeah.
There's been so much in the trailers and all the clips.
I feel like I didn't have a shower after watching the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry, but this has actually put me off wanting to see a Cameron Diaz sex tape.
I tell you something, Cameron Diaz is a far better actress than this. This looks...
Does no one remember being John Malkovich?
I know. Even if someone married, she's... luminous in it.
She's fantastic. And Grizz, great voice performance
and the mask.
What an entrance.
Actually, I rewatched The Mask last week.
How's The Mask, actually?
It's still fun.
I saw it in the cinema again.
It's silly.
Baby.
It's unbelievably silly. And it has dated a lot, but
I imagine.
But it's so much fun.
It is still
it
fun.
It is. It's what I'm going to call Lucy syndrome. It's a lot of fun.
Sex tape, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
I mean, Segel and Diaz, they didn't work as a pairing in Bad Teacher.
Well, they
who
did,
thought they'd work in
Bad
this?
Bad Teacher wasn't that bad. They had some nice jokes and stuff.
They had one great
the average
gag.
Teacher.
There was one good gag in Bad Teacher. It was one line.
The hold my balls are.
Hold my balls are. Exactly. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. That's made me laugh. That made me laugh to see it. But
this looks like it has even less gags.
Yeah. Well, it might have some gags. It's about a sex tape, but
I'm sorry, but I didn't laugh once throughout the trailer again. And
it looks like the kind of film where you should put all the gags in the trailer.
So I'm out.
Ditto. Cameron, please get picky. This has not done well in the States. I don't think it's going to do well here. Call your agent and sack him.
Next up,
Segel ditto. You're better than this.
Anyway, we're going to move on. Next one out, which is one that looks like it should be really good based on the leads that are in it. Before I Go to Sleep has Colin Firth, Nicole Kidman,
and Mark Strong.
I mean,
it looks so drab.
Yeah, but
and I'm sorry, but I have guessed the ending already.
It's the worst trailer this year.
It is.
It's horrible.
And the poster is horrible as well.
If I can't look at Nicole Kidman looking at her and then turning paranoid to the camera to show paranoid, and then freeze frame, I think it happens 3 times in the trailer. It's like, I don't care for this character. I hope somebody kills her. I don't care what the mystery is in it. I don't care.
Ouch.
I just don't care.
I don't think I'm as down on it as you, but...
Well, I've seen it twice yesterday within like an hour and a half. It's like...
Well...
It hurt.
Well, the thing is, it just... The biggest crime that a thriller can do is make its outcome look obvious from a trailer.
Yeah.
That's bad. And as well as that, like you say, you're wasting three prime talents.
Yeah.
Directed by Rowan Joss. Just, it's not... This is not looking
very hokey. It looks
very hokey.
Creaky, and you've seen it all before.
I haven't read the novel, but I've heard it's pretty...
You know what's going to happen. I mean, it's... Yeah, I'm out.
You know what's going to happen. Oh, dear.
All the way through, I know exactly what's going to happen.
It does seem to be very much a telegraph type thing.
But they plot it all out for you, the trailer.
Yeah.
Just in case you're unsure.
Memento with a lower IQ. Let's move on.
Also out this week in limited release in the IFI only is a French comedy, so something Philip should really enjoy, called Attila Marcel.
Since when do I enjoy comedies?
Well, it's in French.
Attila de Hon.
Well, actually, this should be of interest because it's the live-action film debut of Sylvain Chomet, the director of Bellevue Rendezvous and The Illusionist.
Well, there we go.
Well, don't look at me so...
I've seen none of those, so...
Oh, no.
Afraid.
Bellevue Rendezvous, The Triplets of Belleville.
You've seen that?
I haven't seen it.
It's a very, very odd film.
Very enjoyable.
I'll watch it, actually. It's on Netflix.
Do.
I will watch it.
There's a recommendation for you folks. Triplets of Belleville.
You heard the man.
Yeah, but if you're interested in the live feature debut of the director of Triplets of Belleville, then IFI, place to go. It's got very mixed reviews in France. It got 5 out of 5 from Le Parisien and 1 from Cahiers de Cinema.
Yeah, that's, again, that's... Personally, I always take that as more enticing. I'll put it this way. I gave Night Moves 4 out of 5. Our good friend Brogan Hayes, she gave it 1 out of 5. Who are you going to believe? Go watch it and find out.
That's true.
Okie doke. Also, it was previewing this weekend, the first screening of it, is the new Alex Gibney documentary, Finding Fella, which is it's in the Sugar Club on Saturday.
No, Alex Gibney, very nice chap. I've met him, interviewed him, but
makes a tremendous amount of films.
His work ethic is shocking. It's about one a year. He's almost up there with Woody Allen.
Yeah,
or the French bloke, the young lad.
Xavier Tolan, stop it. You're making us look bad.
He has energy, though. Very young.
Yeah. Mind you, Gibney is very consistent in the quality of his films, more or less, although I've heard rather mixed things about Finding Fela.
Yeah, so this is the look at the life and music of Nigerian singer Fela Kuti. So,
Grant, there might be. I'm sure he has some kind of musical backdrop to this.
It's not me and Maxima Culpa, is it?
It's not. Exactly. This sounds a bit more lightweight.
But it can't always be. You can't just keep churning about.
No, but I don't know. Gibney, to me, he always is a director who grapples at something. And I don't know. I find this. It's unfortunate because if he does anything else, he just seems toothless.
I think that this could be one that you watch in the previous year on House. I don't think he'd be bothered going to cinema for it.
It's a pity. Real pity, that. As I say, he's a director I like, and he's actually a very nice guy. So, I don't know. I'll probably check it out at some point.
So, one of the bigger releases, The Guest, Dan Stevens, first leading role out of Downton.
That'll be it.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see...
I actually asked the same question today. He's like...
I don't know who he is.
He looks like a poor man's Bradley Cooper.
I'm sorry, but I don't watch Downton Abbey. My mother does.
Do I.
But I'm more interested in this because it's Adam Wingard's follow-up to Your Next.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed
it. It's enjoyable.
I haven't seen it. I got to watch it. It's on Netflix also.
I don't know if it'll have rewatch value, to be honest.
Netflix, Your Next is not as good as its premise.
No.
But it is still watchable.
And it has one heck of a female lead, Charney Vincent.
Okay.
An Australian actress who's allowed to keep her accent.
My God!
Like
Rose Byrne in Bad
Neighbours. Rose Byrne, exactly. Hello, Rose Byrne. I doubt you're listening, but it's worth a try.
Also, one of the bigger releases out this week, and one that I am much more interested in, The 100-Foot Journey. Yes, Helen Mirren.
Yes, but Lasse Hallström.
Lasse Hallström. The runaway from the cinema screaming.
Treacle dealer extraordinaire.
Yeah, but you see, this is why it could be just a nice trip to the cinema.
No, this sounds like
you're being forced to go and see this.
You bringing your mother to this?
I'm bringing my wife to this.
There you go. Justify however you want, Niall, but this
it's
sounds,
a film
this sounds like
about food
creepy.
Set in France and so
yeah.
And with Dame Helen Mirren. So.
Look, the only thing that get, of those things, the only thing that really get me is food and Helen Mirren. If I want to see a film about food with Helen Mirren,
the cook, the thief, his wife, and her.
Thank you. The food may not exactly be palatable,
no.
But it's a much better film. I guarantee you.
You're also going back 40 years, though. In fairness,
25.
Okay, quite a long time though, and it's a different Helen, very different Helen Mirren,
very different film entirely. I guarantee you,
yeah.
It's a film about, like you say, food. Helen Mirren, very gentle, but the cook, the thief, his wife, and lover, much more flavoursome. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, you'll be thinking about that one for a week.
Yeah. Oh, good grief! That last course.
Right, in IMAX this weekend is a 45-minute long documentary called The Island of Lemurs. It's based in Madagascar and it's about lemurs.
I'm sorry, but are lemurs not just the cutest thing? I want a lemur.
Lemurs are very, very cute.
Yeah, yes. I'm going to pass this.
It's a
45-minute
Wizard
of Oz, I don't even want to know.
Yeah, okay,
it's not, yeah. I wouldn't say it's that
sure
you.
Be
it's
fine.
Just
yeah.
Inoffensive.
But it's not made for you.
No. It's a pity this is being released now. This was made during the summer, considering it's cute animals with the kids market. It could have made a bomb.
Yeah.
So it isn't a lot. It's just like... At least a week too late.
Yeah, mind you, it's not animated, so who knows?
Yeah.
Pity it's not Madagascar 4.
So that's... the only IMAX in the country is in Cineworld, and also that the only other... The Cineworld is also showing the only Hindi film to be released this week, which is Mary Kom, which is... Yeah. Indian cinema is
show quite a bit of
in
Cineworld.
It's good. Yeah, the Indian Film Festival is coming up soon as well.
That's
so
right.
There's
I always mean to get down and see stuff, but I never really do, and I should.
So maybe because
just to go, oh good God, that's bad or good or whatever.
Well, you'd be surprised. But
yeah.
The thing is, considering it's such a huge industry in India,
yeah.
We get very little of their output.
Yeah,
it's always worth the watch.
They do better in the UK because it's got a larger
Indian
population, so yeah.
Yeah. But hey, anything different?
Yeah.
I better go.
Then there's another kind of limited release as well. It's called Life of Crime.
Yeah, this is another Elmore Leonard adaptation. We've gone across from Get Shorty to Jackie Brown this evening already.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I saw the trailer for this yesterday. Tim Robbins, Jennifer Aniston, Isla Fisher, John Hawkes, Will Forte. Great cast.
The cast almost has
been there. And the look of it has that kind of, you know, those kind of downtrodden, seedy look that characters in Elmore Leonard books tend to have.
But,
you know, just on desperation. But it doesn't feel like it has any heft. It feels very light. Now, the trailer could be selling something that's it's not, but it feels quite light. It feels caper as opposed to meaty.
I think a lot of critics in the States, where I think it's already been released, would agree with you. See, the thing is, if you're going to adapt Elmore Leonard, it's going to be compared to what's come before.
Yeah.
The likes of Out of Sight and Get Shorty and Jackie Brown.
Which are the canon, really, when it comes to it. And there's been a few absolute turkeys in that regard, like Big Bounce and stuff like that. And I think the cast almost gets me there. I mean, they're fine, fine actors.
Yeah.
But... It just looks a little light, yeah.
And then the last film of the week, and by far and away the best film.
Yes.
Because it's one of the best films ever made. It's Fritz Lang's M.
Yes.
If any of you have never heard of, or at least have never seen M, you go to the Eye of Eye, or where is it?
It is the Eye of Eye, yeah.
You go there this weekend. That's the film to see.
I'm hoping to catch it. I have the Masters of Cinema Blu-ray at home, which has gotten earned a few times. It is an extraordinary film.
And features fantastically bug-eyed, well, typically bug-eyed performance by Peter Lorre as a serial killer who kills children.
And it is so creepy.
And so gorgeous.
Oh.
And this film feels surprisingly modern in it. Like, this doesn't feel like a film made in 1931.
Yeah, it's 83 years old.
Feel like that at all. It, like, there's a lot of staples in it that you see in films these days. Just kind of how the introduction of the Gale Orion with the shadow on the wanted poster and stuff. It's fantastically done. The use of sound in it and then not sound.
Yeah.
For quite a and you know Lang made films and sound there, you can see the mastery of it. And it's just
and the things were even though it was limited in how much it could show at the time. But it's
the
so
inferences.
There's one stage where it cuts there's a picture of a child holding a ball, cuts to Laurie, cuts to the child, cuts to Laurie, and next thing you just see the ball fall to the ground.
Also, then you see a balloon tangled up in lines drifting away towards the sky for a symbol. There's extraordinary things in it. And
then,
there's a scene at the end. The kind of the courtroom kind of.
Visit must! Oh my god.
It's extraordinary. There's this great scene as well where the police and the criminals. Police are cracking down on kind of crime gangs to try to find this guy. So. It's hurting the crime business as well. So you just
so everybody, you get the police sitting down
and having a meeting. You get the crime gang sitting down and having a meeting. And I think one of them starts a sentence, and the other, the police chief and the crime gang finish each other's sentence because they're both after the same thing. And it's so beautifully done. It's just exquisite.
Fritz Lang, I mean,
what a film!
He's one of the masters of air cinema.
Yes,
just incredible stuff. And if you call yourself a cinephile and you haven't seen this. For goodness sake,
get
your gap in
your get your
now.
Put down to the iFi, Senor, or Senor
Ita.
Yeah, hurry.
Je no habla español.
Or some French or German. Or, I mean, we've established I'm not your language guy.
No mi dab.
Molto bene.
Ciao.
Ciao, arrivederci, au revoir for this week.
Quickly before we insult any more nationalities. Goodbye.
Sláinte.
Bye.